impacts on all businesses and all organizations, including...
Good morning, Honorable. Hi.
Good morning, Shelley. How are you?
Strong or weak?
I will be streaming this committee today.
Very good.
For Iono.fm. I just wanted to make you aware. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. Really appreciate it. It's 10 o'clock, honorable members. Let's formally open the meeting and would like to welcome honorable members. I'd like to also welcome the Deputy Minister, Honorable Samini. Also like to welcome the Director General of the Department of Small Business Development, the CEO of CIFA. Trying to check, Madam, and also other senior managers of the department and the entities, the staff of the committee, staff of parliament, also the media present. This morning we are getting briefing from the Department of Small Business Development on their annual performance plan, as well as the
recording in progress.
The budget. At this stage, I'll ask Ms. Matia to indicate members that are present and also if there are any apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Present in the meeting today, Chair, we have yourself, Honorable Mashuri, Honorable Bashoff, Honorable Dango, and Honorable Lunt. We've received apologies from, we've got a standing apology from Honorable Lansman and Honorable Matavola. And then we've also got an apologies from Honorable Mamarehana and Honorable Brautesef. My co-committee secretary, Ms. Grace Tunizulu, she will be joining us via her phone because she's having challenges with her laptop. Gee, so I have an apology from her as well.
Okay. No, thanks very much. Let me also acknowledge the presence of the minister. She's logged in. Good morning, minister. And also acknowledge the deputy minister. Let me then immediately hand over to the minister to make her opening remarks. And then she will then delegate it to the whoever will be then taking us through the presentation on the annual performance plans and the budget. Over to you, Honorable Minister Mafako.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all honorable members in the House or in this platform. Greetings to our entities and our departmental officials. Chairperson, as you have indicated, today we are presenting to yourselves on the work that we have committed to do in relation to our strategic plan, budget, and APP of the department for this financial year. Members,
Mafago, just a minute. I've just been informed that our meeting is being streamed live. Request if it's possible, if you can have your video on. Thank you so much.
I hope this suffices for now, Honorable Chair. My apologies for that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thanks.
That's fine. Thank you so much.
Off again.
It's off again.
Yes.
I'm there not you. Sure.
Now you, we can see you now.
Thanks, Chair. Okay. And Chairperson, as I was saying, we are coming to make a presentation to yourselves as the select committee and, of course, the DG, will get into the details of the work that we are talking about. We want to acknowledge upfront that there's a bigger space that we really need to occupy as a department, and we believe that we can really, if we pay much attention and we capacitate ourselves, forge partnerships, we'll be able to really do more and meet many of our targets. And of course, look at also our spending levels at an acceptable level that must translate to everyone that we have touched, seeing the value or the impact of the work that we are doing. So, President and honorable members, in, as we review this work that we're doing, we are looking at it in a holistic manner, and we also urge you to do so, to look at what the department and its entities are doing, because we need not separate these. As we say, we are a portfolio that has implementing agencies that talk to the work that we do. It therefore helps us to get a better picture of what we have contributed overall to dealing with the plight of the SMEs. Honorable members, in sharpening our delivery instruments, we are forging ahead with the merger of the two entities under our portfolio, inclusive of the CBDA that is under National Treasury. Members would then be reminded that we were given approval to extend the merger period for another 20 months due to the fact that we really needed to attend to some legislative framework that must enable all these entities to come together. Of course, at the center of it is the consideration of other critical elements, such as infrastructure integration, personnel, and all other aspects. As things stand, we are finalizing the appointment of CTEC to assist us in some of these work elements. Because if we put it in our plan, we ought to give confidence to yourselves that as we failed to meet those targets last year, we have learned this, and therefore this is the progress and the capabilities to then make sure that we are able to deliver on what we had committed to do. We have started already with the merger process. As things stand, we have set up a joint operations forum where our department and the three entities meet to plan and discuss reports from the various work streams. We have appointed interim boards as from the 1st of May, interim boards of CIFA and CEDA. And of course, that means we have new members, and CEDA is led by Ms. Oliswa Dagu, and CIFA is led by Ms. Siwisa Simi is the name. If I were to just talk on the profile, Ms. Dagu, who chairs CEDA, is an accomplished award-winning entrepreneur in her own right, and has a legal background and vast board experience. Currently, she is the CEO of Dagu Group of Companies, which has a property portfolio of about 1.4 billion rand. Ms. Siwisa is an equally capable and experienced executive with a strong background in economic development strategy. She brings to the portfolio extensive experience from international institutions, private sector research, and economic advisory services. Chairperson, with your permission, I would like to hand over to the Director General to take the committee through the presentation that was shared with yourselves. Once more, thank you for affording us an opportunity to come and present to yourselves.
Thank you so much, Mafak, and also like to welcome Honorable Lont and Honorable Moimang, as well as the two chairpersons of the entities, CEDA and CIFA. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Again, good morning to the Minister, Deputy Minister, all honourable members and colleagues who are on the platform. I will share the presentation. It's quite long, Chair, but I'll try and be very efficient in terms of time so that we can cover everything within the time allocated.
Can I give you 1 hour, DG?
Yes, yes, Chair. Yes, Chair. I should be done within an hour.
All right.
This is just the outline of the presentation what we're going to cover. I don't want to waste time on it. And then the purpose is just to brief the committee on our APP as well as the strategic plan for the department. Chair, our mandate is informed by these policies and legislations. I just want to highlight one because the others have not changed. The first one there is the Businesses Act, which was transferred to the department in October 2020. And we are in the process of reviewing this act. This is a very critical piece of legislation because it talks to the issues around licensing and permits of businesses. And there's quite a lot of interest around this piece of legislation. And the president did speak about it during the State of the Nation address, given its importance, as we believe that it will assist us in reducing red tape, of which small businesses as well as big businesses have been complaining about. We also have the National Small Enterprise Act. We have a Section 3D of the Industrial Development Act because of CIFA, which is still a subsidiary of the IDC. I think Minister has covered the fact that we're in the process of incorporating CIFA as well as the Cooperative Bank Development Agency into CEDA. These are other pieces of legislation and policies, the Cooperative Development Act, the Cooperative Development Policy, as well as the Cooperatives Amendment Act. We are also aligned with the National Development Plan, especially Chapter 3 and 6. The medium-term strategic framework, we fall under Priority 2 in the MTSF, where we have to deliver on the upskilling and expansion of support to small businesses, creating more jobs. As we all know that jobs are really created by small businesses, inclusive economic growth is where transformation happens, through the support of small businesses and all these other areas that are listed there. And then we still have the integrated strategy on the promotion of entrepreneurship and small enterprises, which we recently reviewed with the support of DPME. And we come up with the national master plan that I'm going to talk about in the next slide. We also have the integrated strategy on development and promotion of cooperatives, National Informal Business Uplifting Strategy, which informs our interventions when it comes to informal businesses, where we include both the capacity building as well as the provision of the instruments for our informal businesses. Chair, the mandate vision, there has no change. We still, the department responsible for leading and coordinating an integrated approach to the promotion and development of entrepreneurship, SMMEs and cooperatives, and as well as to ensure an enabling legislative and policy environment to support their growth and sustainability. We always emphasize that we are leading as well as coordinating because we are aware that we are not the only department that is responsible for the development and the support for cooperatives as well as SMEs. But we coordinate because there needs to be a leader in the space, of which this is the department that is responsible for that. We do work closely with quite a number of government departments. Some of them have already entered into MOUs so that we can work together and ensure that whatever support we provide to small businesses does not create confusion in the market. It's integrated. It's also complementary because resources are available but are spread throughout various government departments as well as various government spheres. So it's important for us to play this role of ensuring that we lead and coordinate. Okay, briefly, in terms of the economic situation, we know that we are still dealing with the effects of COVID, which disrupted our economy. It led to a lot of uncertainty. I think we've recently seen the rising energy prices that are really causing a lot of disruption in the economy. We know that as a country, we are lagging behind in, you know, compared to the advanced economies when it comes to recovery from the pandemic. Our economic growth will show in the next slides that we are not expected to grow that much. As a country, we've seen the South African Reserve Bank, they've started tightening the monetary policy by raising the repo rate. We still have risks that we are facing as a country, electricity price, inflation, load shedding, higher oil prices, higher wage demands, and policy uncertainty due to development. Fiscal policy, we know that the budget is not that good, so we have to really tighten our belts and also that we do more with the little that we have. as I indicated earlier, South Africa, we can see there at the bottom, we are not doing even better than Sub-Saharan Africa. I can see that in 2022, Sub-Saharan Africa is expected to grow at 3.7%, but we're only expected to grow at 1.9%. And next year, it's not getting better. Other countries are growing. We are not growing. We're expected to grow at 1.4%. So we still have serious issues that we need to address as a country. But with the interventions that are being introduced, we believe that we can turn around the situation with in partnership with the private sector in particular. So going straight to our priorities going forward, I'm sure honorable members will remember that we introduced the Township and Rural Entrepreneurship Program, which is a program that is targeted towards supporting businesses that are based in township and rural areas, which was the first intervention by this administration to make sure that we have a dedicated program that deals directly with the support to township and rural areas. We'll accelerate its implementation. We've tried, but we need to do more, as the minister was saying, and make sure that we accelerate the implementation of this intervention, because there is a demand out there and we have to be responsive as government. Then in terms of creating an enabling environment, we do have two pieces of legislation that we are dealing with this year. There is one that has been going on for quite a while, the National Small Enterprise Act, which we are aiming to introduce the Small Enterprise Combat Service Bill through Cabinet. We have done almost all the work that we are supposed to do from our side. For example, we are done with the socio-economic impact assessment. We have finalized the business case for the establishment of the Ombud Service Bill. It has been okayed by Department of Public Service and Administration. There is one area that is missing, is the legal certificate that we need to get from the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor so that we can take this bill back to Cabinet so that it can be introduced to Parliament. The challenge that we are facing there, they have identified another clause that has nothing to do with the amendments that we are making this year, where they were saying that clause empowers the minister to amend the primary act, and they are saying that is not the responsibility of the minister. It should be Parliament that is the only structure that is empowered to amend a piece of legislation. So we are in discussion with both the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor as well as the Office of the State Attorney so that they can provide their proper advice in terms of how do we move forward, because this, even though the clause that they've identified has nothing to do with the Small Enterprise Ombud Service Bill. They are saying the whole act, then it means they cannot say this act is constitutional. So we are in those discussions with them trying to find a way, because we have to take this bill to Cabinet so that it can go to Parliament. The SMMEs, they do need this Ombud office to assist them to deal with the challenges they are facing. Then I've spoken to the Businesses Act that we are amending this year to make sure that we create this enabling environment for small businesses, and we introduce some sort of uniformity across the sector, because this act is implemented through municipalities, and unfortunately they do things differently. It depends on where you are. In other municipalities, they charge you 2,000 rand if you are an informal business, you want to get a license or a permit to trade. In other municipalities, they charge you 500 rand. So there needs to be this uniform approach in terms of supporting small businesses. We are in the process of finalizing SMEs and cooperatives funding policy that will really change the way access to finance is undertaken in this country. Red tape reduction program, which is a very critical area. We are upscaling this intervention to make sure that we reduce red tape, especially at the municipal level, because they are the first port of call for our SMEs and cooperatives. Localizing policy framework. An implementation program will continue to implement this, where we are getting as many small businesses and cooperatives as possible producing and getting their products listed with the retailers. Small enterprise manufacturing program, which is an instrument that enables us to implement this localization policy framework, will provide both financial as well as non-financial support and empowering our SMEs to have the proper equipment, machinery, as well as the expertise to produce goods that are of acceptable quality. Then we do have the Youth Challenge Fund, which was launched by the minister towards the end of last year, where we are targeting young people who want to start and grow their businesses. We provide them with dedicated support. We do work closely with the National Youth Development Agency. Product markets, business infrastructure, we know this is one of the critical areas, especially for those enterprises that are based in township and rural areas. They do need infrastructure, business infrastructure, so that they can operate in areas, you know, that are conducive for them. They can also be able to receive their clients. So we are having targets. I think we have targets of having 20 business infrastructure projects set up by the end of the term, of the medium term. Business viability is one of the interventions introduced to assist those businesses to turn around and upgrade in terms of the processes, given the effects of COVID, because most of the businesses now have gone digital. They've tried to adapt, you know, their business processes to the current realities. Incubation centers, Chair, is one of the critical areas. We need to expand this and make sure that these facilities are available, especially in the township and rural areas. We are doing this work through CEDA, establishing incubation centers and digital hubs. Linking our SMEs and cooperatives to the market through e-commerce platform, which is one of the interventions that we had to introduce because of COVID. There are more businesses that are moving, you know, towards e-commerce. Then one of the critical areas, which is also informed by the guidance that we receive from the DPME through MTSF, that we need to make sure that at least 40% of our interventions must go to women-owned enterprises, 30% to youth-owned, and 7% to persons with disabilities. We are also in the process, Chair, which we must indicate that we are getting closer to finalization, the issue of the organizational structure. Members might be aware that we are still operating utilizing a startup structure, but we've gained a lot of traction since the last 2 months, where the ministers of the two departments have met to make sure that we get this process finalized. Minister has spoken on the issue of the small business support entity. I'm not going to repeat that one, but it's a process. We've been given an extension until December 2023 to finalize the incorporation of the two entities. This is just an indication in terms of our alignment of our intervention that we are not operating outside of government. We are part of government. There are specific outcomes that talk to the economic reconstruction and recovery program priorities. Priority area 5, macroeconomic interventions. Those are our departmental outcomes. But on the far right, we have the specific indicators that talk to each and every ERRP priority. So I'm not going to dwell much on it, but we are just showing here that as the Department of Small Business Development, we are fully aligned. We are also fully responsible for the implementation of the RRP together with other government departments. We are not operating outside of government. Priority area 6, just to emphasize that the green economy, we know that this is the future. We do have a partnership with the Department of Forest, Fisheries and Environment, because we are not also claiming to be knowing all things. We do work closely with these government departments that are sector specialists to assist us to deliver on the targets. We do also have targets that talk to export promotion, because we believe that small businesses have to occupy the space even in the international market. Those are the targets that we put in our APP to show that this is how we're going to do. And then lastly, there, the bottom is the National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Master Plan implementation, which we need to make sure that we finalize as soon as possible. Cabinet approves that the department goes and gazette this master plan and for public consultations for one last time, because we did have consultations, but we thought, because this is a national master plan, the Department of Small Business Development master plan, it's also not a government master, it's a national master plan, so we need to gazette and make sure that those people that we're not able to reach during our consultations, they do get an opportunity to see the master plan, to also provide input so that we take it back to cabinet for final approval. Then, Chair, it's a further indication here of our interventions when it comes to ERRP. We do have these interventions, especially the first one there. What we are also doing, Chair, we are spending quite a lot of money, especially through CEDA, in supporting incubators, and we've indicated earlier that we are planning to expand and get more incubators. It's important for us as a department to go back and look at these incubators. Are they assisting us to deliver in terms of the mandate? Are they doing what they are expected to deliver on? We cannot just go and spend money and not monitor the impact. So we do have that target of ensuring that we do monitor and also report on the incubators that we are supporting, but also introduce improvement plan where necessary. The next one, I'm not going to repeat, it also talks to the work that I've spoken about, that we have the SME cooperative funding policy that is being finalized, and all those other interventions that talk to the support to small businesses and cooperatives. And then, Chair, we have some of these targets. Just here we are showing direct links between the medium-term strategic framework as well as our interventions. There are targets that we are responsible for as a Department of Small Business Development that we are leading in the MTSF. There are also those targets where we are playing a supportive role. For example, in the first one, Chair, we were expected through the MTSF to develop a policy framework and implementation program for SMEs and cooperatives. We've done that. It was announced as part of the President ERRP. We are implementing that. We're also in the process of finalizing our master plan, as I indicated. All the other master plans that are led mostly by the Department of Trade and Industry, they have to talk to small businesses. How are small businesses expected to play a role in driving the economy, especially in those specific sectors? So our master plan comes after all these other master plans, because we had to sit and identify all these opportunities for small businesses in the other master plans. Incubation centers, this is one of the key targets I've spoken to, that we are expanding this, targeting especially the township and rural areas, because that's where lack of infrastructure has been identified, and we have to make sure that we bring these facilities to our township and rural areas. 10,000 new business startups supported per annum while executing this work. As I indicated earlier, we also work closely with the NYDA, but our entities, in particular CIDA and CIFA, are leading this work. One of the interventions that we are introducing through the SME and cooperatives funding policy, we're saying the DFIs, irrespective of the size, at least 50% must go to supporting SMEs and cooperatives. We are not thinking of saying if IEDC, for example, introduce an intervention and they talk about SMEs, we go and complain. No, we're saying the mandate is too big. We have to work together. So they have bigger resources than us. So their money must also go to supporting SMEs, and they have been doing that recently. 100,000 cooperatives, small businesses and cooperatives supported by 2024. This is the work that we are doing. For now, it's only us and the entities. It's supposed to be the whole of government, but it's a struggle to get reports from various government departments. Only Department of Labor that has come around, and they are saying they are going to assist us with information, especially with the funding that they are dispersing through the Public Investment Corporation. Can I be protected?
Can you please mute your mic, whoever is talking now?
But
they are videos, I mean, there are TVs on, so they are in the meeting.
Thanks, Chair. We're also working closely with the National Treasury on this target. This one isn't directly linked to us, but we are playing a supportive role. Township economy profiles, because National Treasury also realized that the investment that is made, especially in the cities, they must lead economic growth in these areas. We're also supporting Department of Agriculture when it comes to especially the small-scale farmers, because agriculture, they do support them in terms of providing equipment. But on our side as a department, we do say this investment by government, it needs to be protected by ensuring that these farmers, they run their farm operations as businesses. So we do provide business development support, but also we do engage with them when it comes to market access for these small-scale farmers. There is also an indication there, Chair, where one of our targets is aligned with the National Annual Strategic Plan of DPME. Chair, I will try and be brief on this one as well, that we are working here With our targets, we're just showing here our five-year targets on the far right. I'll just focus on that, that we're looking at it, at least having 1,000 products and services rendered by SMEs and cooperatives listed and procured, because government is one of the biggest procurers, so we need to make sure that at least 1,000 of these products and services that are produced by SMEs are procured by government. SMEs focus local policy framework. I've spoken to this target that we are implementing it. 1,000 SMEs and cooperatives exposed to international markets is contributing to our work in the international space. 10,000 women-owned businesses registered on international platform. Here we're working with the International Trade Corporation. We're working with the EU, where we've introduced the Ship Trade Step A platform we just launched by the minister last month. This is the work that we take seriously, because we believe that women-owned enterprises need to get opportunities. So here, this instrument is just targeting women-owned enterprises. So if you are a man running a business, you won't qualify to participate in this, but you will qualify in participating in other programs that are targeted towards ensuring that SMEs are exposed to international opportunities. I've spoken to the next target, which is the National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Master Plan, which is being finalized, is gazetted currently, but we are finalizing it for submission to cabinet for final approval. I did speak to this one, Target Chair, that every year we need to assess the impact of our incubation program and make sure that it does assist us in empowering our SMEs and cooperatives. SME support plan aligned with the district development model. This is our commitment, Chair, that as a department, we also align ourselves with the DDM model, because we believe that it will assist us to reach those areas that we have not reached, but also in ensuring that our interventions are not skewed towards those areas that are based where it's easy to access support, the urban areas, but we need to have specific targets for rural and far-flung areas. So we do have an SME support plan that talks to that. And we, as a department, we also have what we call district champions, where different colleagues from across the department are championing certain districts. SMEs and cooperatives funding policy, I've spoken to this one. 10,000 youth business startups supported per annum. This is a target that we are ensuring that we achieve by all means, ensuring that both SPIDA and SIFA also play a role, because it's not just about accessing finance, but also business development skills are very important for to ensure that our SMEs, especially those that are owned by young people, are successful. 100,000 competitive small business cooperatives supported. This is the target on the MTSF, because the competitive small businesses are the ones that are not just there for survival, but are there to make sure that they contribute in terms of economic growth as well as job creation. So we need to support those competitive businesses as a department as well as government as a whole. And then 100,000 township and rural enterprises supported through our township and rural entrepreneurship program, where we are clear that the money that has been allocated by government does go to township and rural areas. The implementation of the National Small Enterprise Act monitor, this is also an important area that I've spoken to earlier, where we're still having those challenges in terms of constitutionality of certain provisions of the National Small Enterprise Act. But we are pushing to make sure that we do establish this ombud service, because it will assist our SMEs to have this facility where they are having challenges with people who are not paying them on time, those business as well as government, when they change contract terms or, you know, during the period of the execution of that contract, they can have this facility to go and lodge their complaints with. And because it's difficult for SMEs to access justice, it's very expensive. So this ombuds office is supposed to assist them to deliver, to get access to justice in a cheaper way. In terms of program one, target that one is very critical. We still need to maintain this unqualified audit opinion for both financial as well as non-financial support, but also the expenditure in terms of the budget. We need to make sure that the money that's available to us by National Treasury goes to the economy. So we're not planning to go above 5% in terms of under expenditure. We also have to lead as a department in ensuring that the valid creditors are paid within 30 days. Also the issue of the database, which is a platform that we first introduced during COVID, We are still developing it further because we need to introduce new dimensions to make sure that it does assist our SMEs to cut down in terms of the red tape, but also they do access business development support in one platform. Action plan on ease of doing business. We're indicating here, Chair, that we are serious about ensuring that the red tape is reduced, especially at the municipal level. We are taking it at the district level because we want to make sure that the district municipalities are able to monitor and assist the local municipalities in the execution of the red tape reduction intervention. Chair, I will not waste a lot of time, but I'll try and be very quick here. Just looking at time as well. This is program one, which is mainly the Ministry Office of the DG, Corporate Management, as well as Financial Management. We're a very small department, so we don't have, for example, a DDG for Corporate Management. These are the targets, Chair. I've spoken to these ones, the unqualified audit outcomes for both financial and non-financial support. 100% of valid creditors must be paid within 30 days. In terms of the budget, I spoke to this one that we need to at least 95% and above of the budget that is allocated to us must be dispersed. It must go to the economy. We also need to maintain the 10% vacancy rate in funded permanent posts. We're also serious about ensuring that at least we have a minimum of 50% female at an SMS level. So it's not just about the numbers in the department, but at a leadership level, we need to have at least 50% female. 4.2% representation of persons with disabilities. We are increasing this target as next year we need to reach 7%, which is the MTSF target. Chair, here we are showing that we are really taking a giant step in increasing our public engagements because there has been those complaints that people are not aware of the interventions that we have. They don't have access to information. So last year we had a target of 24, but the minister has and deputy minister have been leading various interventions going across the country, engaging with small businesses, cooperatives, inclusive of the provincial as well as local municipalities, so that when we engage with the SMEs, they do get solutions to the challenges that they face on the spot, but also we do come up with a plan in terms of how we're going to implement whatever commitments we've made as a collective there. So we are increasing the target from 24 and this year, 22-23, we are going to 70, so it's more than double. The next one is the SME database where we're looking at integrating the SME business index to identify level of readiness and capability of small enterprises implemented because as government, we've supported small businesses, but in terms of monitoring, ensuring that we see the continuous growth of these small businesses over time, we've not been successful in doing that. So we are ensuring that we integrate this element so that we can check the level of readiness because also this assists when it comes to access to finance because as government, the demand out there is around 340 billion in terms of a gap, finance gap. As government, we don't have those resources. So that's why we work closely with the private sector. And the private sector, they do look at the issues around the credit scoring records just to make sure that whoever they are funding, it's a business that is willing to pay back the money or is capable of paying back the money. They've paid back the money that are owed. It's one of the issues that was raised, Chair, by the Banking Association of South Africa when we engaged them about the failure of the National Credit Guarantee Scheme. They said, no, Sam, they focus mostly on the businesses that are already their clients because at least they can monitor them and see that these people do have a capacity to pay back the money that is they've lent to them as the banks. Program two, Chair, this program is mainly responsible for access to markets, but product development support as well as value chain integration. Those are the sub-programs, sector and market development, business information and knowledge management, because it's still critical for us to do research to make sure that our interventions are informed by evidence. Ease of doing business, as the red tape is located, access to market support to provide both domestic and international market support. These are the targets, Chair. We targeting 250 products produced and services rendered by SMEs linked to the market. We remember that I indicated earlier that we have a target of 1,000. So those are the targets that we've spread throughout. We started implementing this target last year where we were able to get 238. So this year we did 250. So by the end, 2024-25, we should be above 1,000. And then we have this target on ensuring that the women-owned enterprises in particular are registered on the SheTradesZA platform, because I must indicate that this is an international platform where women-owned enterprises can go in and even access market intelligence to know, you know, if you want to trade with a particular country, what is expected of the products that are coming from South Africa to that particular country. So it does provide that platform where women-owned entities can go and access this information. Then 200 SMEs and cooperatives exposed, the target for this year, exposed to international market opportunities where we are also accommodating men who own their businesses. They can also participate in these platforms. We've been doing most of these platforms virtually because of COVID restrictions. We hopefully will be able to go back to normality very soon so that businesses can go to these international countries and also access these opportunities. Chair, I've spoken to this one a little bit earlier, that the business infrastructure is very critical. I must indicate, Chair, that we are really getting support, especially working with the provinces, where they are also pledging their own resources, because we all say it doesn't help us as the national department to go and set up an infrastructure in a particular area and leave. Someone has to make sure that this infrastructure is maintained. You know, the issues around repairs are done. So we do work closely here with other partners who will remain behind, and then the municipalities are also on board so that they also provide the necessary basic infrastructure that has to support these facilities. We also look at refurbishing existing facilities. So it's not about, you know, going and establishing a new facility. We do refurbish existing structures that are underutilized. Monitoring reports, I did indicate here, Chair, that it's a critical target to make sure that we monitor our incubation support program, whether it still assists us to achieve what we desire. And then the business amendment bill, I did speak to this area. This area is very critical, Chair, because the businesses amendment bill, it will be talking to the issues around permits, licenses, and we know that drawing from the lessons that we learned when we were still part of the DTIC, back in 2013, where the licensing bill, I'm sure some of the members will remember, it was withdrawn and it never went anywhere because there were quite a number of issues that were raised by the private sector in particular. So we are very cautious in terms of introducing this bill. We want to make sure that we reach consensus on some of the controversial areas, but we'll also push as government because we also need to lead. When it comes to this area, we need to create this environment, we need to negotiate certain things. So this bill definitely will have to also come through the NCOP in particular and be tagged as Section 76, because it does talk to the work that is done through the provinces. Chair, development finance, where we, it's a new area here that we've introduced because we realize that access to finance is one of the critical areas that we are driving. Those are the sub-programs around this area, because we also believe that we need to continuously look at new innovative ways of offering support to small businesses. These are the targets, Chair. The first one is the SME and cooperatives funding policy that has to be approved. We're also planning to take this to Cabinet. Also, support to cooperatives, we're targeting 200 this year, increasing these over the years. We must indicate, Chair, that we've been having some challenges around this area, but we aim to work closely with the sectors, especially other government departments, also supporting cooperatives. You're also working with other cooperative structures in the country to make sure that we are able to really increase support to cooperatives enterprises. That's the target on the township and rural enterprises supported. We're looking at 20,000 this year, 30,000 next year, as well as 40,000 the other year. All of these must lead to us being able to achieve the target of supporting 100,000 township and rural enterprises by 2024-25. Customized sector program, we have a target of 900 this year. This program, Chair, it does target especially those enterprises that are based in rural areas. We're closely here with the provincial entities supporting those, especially women-owned enterprises that are involved in the creative industries. So we're targeting 900 this year. Next year, we're looking at 1,000, and then the other year, also 1,000. 10,000 new startups. We have this target of 10,000 going forward. Also, the competitive small businesses, we're targeting 25,000 this year. We'll also be looking at getting 35,000 competitive small businesses and cooperatives supported. These are the enterprises that really need to assist us as a country to grow the economy and also increase employment. The last program, Chair, is Program 4, Enterprise Development, where most of our work around supply development is done. Entrepreneurship is also falling under this program. Also, the work that we're doing with the municipalities when it comes to local economic development also falls under this program. The first target there, Chair, is the finalization of the National Small Enterprise Development Master Plan, which I indicated earlier that it's gazetted and it will be taking it back to Cabinet. Municipalities, we're targeting 20 to be assisted with red tape this year, 30 next year, and 40 in the outer year. Here, Chair, this is a new target, assessment review report of SME regulatory impediments to reform approved by EXCO. Here, Chair, this target, we are aiming at looking at each and every piece of legislation that has an impact on the performance or on the operations of SMEs, because they have been complaining that as government, we come up with various pieces of legislation that impedes, you know, their competitiveness as SMEs. So as the department, we are leading this process. We're aiming to take this to Cabinet because some of the pieces of legislation that are out there are not from the Department of Small Business Development. They are from other government departments. So we need to take this to Cabinet so that we can resolve the issues that have been raised by small businesses. Chair, with your permission, if I can request, or they can also take a sip of water, request the CFO to just take the portfolio, the select committee, sorry, apologies, through the budget over the MTF period. Thank you.
Thank you very much. CFO?
Thank you, Chair, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to Honorable Members of the Select Committee, our Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, Chairperson, CEOs, and colleagues. With your permission, Chair, if I may just put off my video to be able to sustain the my network on this end as I present.
Okay, then continue, CFO.
Okay, thank you, Chair. In terms of the allocation for the department, we, as DG has already presented on our performance, the resources that we have been allocated for the four programs that we have, the three core program and one administration. For the financial year 22-23, we have been allocated 2.563 billion, which over the MTF is 7.8 billion. In terms of the proportion of the allocation of the budget, administration takes up 5.25% of that. Development, sector, market and development takes up 5.3%. Development finance takes up the bulk of our resources that are allocated over the MTF at 52.6%. Enterprise development taking the second largest portion of that allocation at 36.79 or 36.8%. The same allocation in terms of economic classification, Chairperson and committee members. compensation of employees is allocated at 190 million for the 22-23 financial year, and over the MTF is 657 million, and goods and services is 63 million, and over the MTF is 191.3 million. Payment for capital is the least, which has 4.7 million for the 22-23 financial year and 14.8 million over the MTF. Whilst transfers and subsidies take up the bulk of our budget, which is 2.3 billion and just under 7 billion over the MTF. Compensation of employees takes up 8.4% of the total allocation. Goods and services just 2.5% payment of capital asset, when 0.19% of our budget, transfers and subsidies, just under 89% of the allocation, which is the biggest of the four items that have been listed. Next slide, please, DG. Thank you. And in fact, we have already spoken to the projected expenditure over the MTF in that we have provided from 2018 up until the 24-25. And one would notice, Chairperson, that our average expenditure over the previous years from 2018 to 2019 had been 97.9% of the allocated budget, while the growth over the MTF, which is 22-23 to 24-25, is 1.5% over the 3 years mentioned. The next slide, please, DG. In terms of the projected expenditure over the MTF for goods and services, compensation of employees, goods and services, and capital, we are still seeing an upward curve in that we, in 2018-19, in terms of compensation of employees, we had spent 133 million. And 1920, 137 million, had a slight dip in 2020-21 of 134, but in 2021 we had projected to spend 155. And in terms of the actual expenditure for 155, when we come back to report, the committee will realize that in fact we spent slightly lower or much lower than what we had anticipated for the 21-22 financial year. However, projected for 22-23, we have been allowed to reprioritize funding with the permission of National Treasury to increase our compensation of employees from about 155 to 190, 220, and 246 over the MTF. We are hoping to increase the number of or the establishment or the headcount in 22-23. To a point that we will be increasing the number to 300 plus in 2024-25 financial year. Currently, we're sitting at 209 chairperson and committee members. Goods and services, in terms of our spending, on average, we have been in the 18-19 financial year, we had 73 million, which has been decreasing gradually. 61.5 million in 1920, 48.7 in 2021, which is the year of our COVID, where most activities that would have consumed or required goods and services to be spent on were curtailed, such as traveling. We had reduced in expenditure on other items that would have related to officials being in the office full time. 21-22, we had also hoped to go back to normality, but we also had to reprioritize some funding from that 75.8, as we will be reporting in future days if we're invited. The goods and services, as it reduces to 63, 62, and 65 chairperson, is on the basis that we reprioritize some of the funding in goods and services towards COE that you see increasing from 21-22, from 155 to 190, for us to be able to afford the structure that we are still in the process of consulting with DPSA, because we didn't have funding for some of the critical posts that we had identified in the department. In terms of capital assets, our spending is more or less around 5-4 million per annum, and we are not anticipating to have drastic changes in that space. The next slide, which talks to the projected expenditures as well as the MTF allocation over the years, relates to transfers and subsidies. Here we started off at a low of 1.2 billion during 18-19, increased to just over 2 billion, and the amount has been going up and down, but staying at 2 billion chair. And most of this money is In fact, we received some funding from National Treasury where we were able to reprioritize funding that would support or help us to be partially responsive towards the COVID pandemic that we all experienced in 2020-21. But some of the programs, such as our TREP programs, we have been able to sustain or convert into sustainable or permanent products. In that we moved away from having blended 100% grants as a department, or mainly 100% grants as a department, towards moving towards a blended finance. And most of these programs are implemented by CIFA on behalf of DSBD, as well as CEDA from non-financial support. The next slide that talks to what I've already spoken to, in essence, is that COE, we have been spending on average 90.9% from 18-19 to 21-22. Our budget in terms of growth from 22 to 23 is about 16.1%. Our vacancy rate of committee members through you, Chairperson, remains high due to the organizational structure that is being finalized through consultation with DPSA, as well as the current moratorium on the filling of some of the posts until the structure is finalized. Our goods and services expenditure on average has been from between 18-19 and 21-22, hovering around 95.8%. And we have had a budget reduction, as I have indicated previously, that we have reprioritized funding towards enabling the department to support afford some of the critical posts that you require for us to be able to achieve the objectives of the department. And our major cost drivers currently are office accommodation, travel and subsistence, computer services, audit costs, as well as communication costs, and more so in data costs because of remote working for most DSBD officials. Capital expenditure 18-19 to 21-22, we have been spending around 88.7%. The growth rate in that spend and in the budget being 4.9%. And our main cost drivers in that space are computer equipment, office furniture, leases on tools of trade, which is our cell phones, as well as the printing equipment that we have, as well as procuring of ministerial vehicles as and when that they need to purchase one. Next slide, DG. Revenue, we are not very big on revenue as DSBD. In fact, most of the revenue that we generate is from the interest that we generate from the transactions that we handle for third parties, commission on insurance premiums. The biggest transaction that we would have had is of that 20, that big jump of 23 million was when we had to receive funds from CEDA that were being surrendered back to National Treasury. Occasionally, when we have vehicles that are no longer, that we would have declared redundant, we would also sell as the department. The slide that follows, Chair, is how our allocation is broken down in terms of the current programs or the TREP, such as your TREP, how CEDA receives, and the program that we have implemented by through CIFA, which is our blended finance. We also converted our cooperative incentive scheme into cooperative development support program. We used to have what we call the informal business support program that we have now converted into product markets or safe shared economic infrastructure program into product markets. But we always had the craft customized sector program where we engage with provincial agencies to assist us in supporting our crafters. I have reported that our transfers and subsidies allocated 2.3 billion for the 22-23 and just under 7 billion over the MTF. And compensation fund takes 41.9% or just under 42% of that. 23-23 financial year and 2.9 billion over the NTF. CEDA, which is one of the implementing agencies that we are responsible for, is allocated 884 million of that budget and 2.7 of that over the billion over the NTF, which is 38.9%. Blended finance takes up just under 296 million of the allocation in 22-23 and 827.3 million over the MTF. The CSDP, as we call the Corporate Development Program, takes up 76.9 million in 22-23 and 290 million in the over the MTF, which is 3.1% of that allocated 6.9 billion. Product market takes up 83.3 million and 255 million over the MTF, which is 3.7% of the allocation. And lastly, Trust Customer Sector Program, which we call the CSP, takes up 16.6 million and 35.5 million over the MTF, which is 0.5% of the allocation. That last slide, in terms of our allocation for programs in provinces, I'm not too sure if DJ, you want to take this one up or if I should just take it up. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the programs that are taken up on our behalf by CIFA, the value of approvals in the informal and micro finance. Committee members will note that there was 200 million, and in terms of the value of disbursement, we're looking at 360 million that we are anticipating for the 22-23 financial year. The number of SMEs to be financed or anticipated SMEs to be financed is 83,181, and we're hoping to facilitate 85,449 jobs. Whilst in the wholesale SME lending, we anticipate into 450 million, whereas the value of disbursements will be 301 million, and we're hoping to finance 549 SMEs, as well as facilitate 6,997 jobs in that space. The KCG or Kula Credit Guarantee, we are anticipating to approve 250 million and have around 342 disbursed, targeting 623 SMEs while facilitating 7,949 jobs. Direct lending, 400 million. Anticipated value of approvals, while we're hoping to disburse 300 million with 178 SMEs benefiting while facilitating 3,873 jobs for TREP. 933 million approvals are anticipated, whilst we're hoping that the 700 will be disbursed while supporting 350 SMEs and facilitating 700 jobs. Thank you.
I thought you were going to take the seat as well. Are you? Okay, Chair, it's fine. I can proceed. Chair, this is the allocation of CEDA. We know that this year, 22-23, we are dispersing 876 million to CEDA. It's broken down the, you know, township, rural, informal businesses. They get the biggest chunk, is 51%. And then business competitiveness and viability program, it gets 244. And then administration, as you know, that CEDA also has provincial and regional offices. They'll be spending 182 million, which is 20% of the budget that is allocated to them. And then, Chair, there is a breakdown there in terms of the provincial costs per province. We start with the operational cost, the first column there in the bottom table, and then incubators cost per province, because we still do support the incubators that we have approved and are operational, because if we do disengage in terms of providing support, we might lose the influence in terms of directing these incubators to support a specific area. So there is this cost per annum per province or per incubator. Total cost per province, and you'll see the biggest province for now is KwaZulu-Natal, where 14.5% of the budget goes, and followed by the Gauteng, which 13.5%, followed by Western Cape, 13.2%, as well as Eastern Cape, 13.1%. And then, Chair, this is the breakdown in terms of the budget. I think we have spoken about this area, but we're also highlighting here the shortfalls in terms of the budget. For example, on the first one, we had the youth startup. We have 10,000 businesses that we are targeting to support. So we have to always reprioritize in terms of the existing budgets to meet our targets of having 10,000 youth-owned businesses supported. So there is a shortfall there, because if we reprioritize within our own existing instruments, some businesses or some interventions would not be supported. For example, for this year, 204 million, given the demand that we've seen, we had also reprioritized, for example, one of the programs called the Gazelles program. We reprioritized that program to a youth support instrument. We have 29 million that is allocated there, 30 million, 31 million. So these targets in terms of the required that we've put there, we've learned from the lessons since the opening of the Youth Challenge Fund in November last year, that the demand is quite high for this instrument. So those are the projected requirements. See that so far, the merger, as Minister indicated, we're getting GTEC to assist us in finalizing this merger. We do have a cost of 6 million that GTEC will be charging us to assist us with all the processes, the due diligence, the business case finalization, etc. Those are the things that we need to incur, the cost that we need to incur to get this incorporation of CIFA and CBDA into CIDA finalized. Establishment of the Small Enterprise Ombuds Office. This one, we had been guided by DPSA that we need to make it partially part of government at the start, so that it can properly incubate it before it can be a standalone service, because this Enterprise Ombuds Office has to be independent of government, because we know that government, sometimes they do not pay SMEs on time. So they will be approaching the same Ombuds Office. So if it's rooted within government, it might be difficult for it to deliver on its mandate. So we have been advised that we need to incubate it and make sure that it becomes this independent office going forward. So we are starting at 3.5 million, which is not funded. We have to reprioritize from the existing funding to make sure that the Ombuds Office is established. Chair, this is just a quick rundown in terms of CIFA's budget. CFO has touched on this one, that most of the budget, especially from the Township and Rural Entrepreneurship Program, goes to CIFA, as they are the ones that are providing financial support. But also, this is very important, because it assists in ensuring that there is no confusion in the market. We are not competing with our own entities. So if you need financial support, you know that you have to go to CIFA. But CIDA also does support the same enterprises with non-financial support. CIFA, because of the fact that it's still under IDC, they do get an allocation through the DTIC, and it goes via IDC and then goes to CIFA. They have 392 million over the MTAF. We see there that there is a target for CIFA to reduce the cost to income ratio, 87% for now, 80% in 2024, and then going down to 76%, so that most of the money that gets to CIFA goes to really supporting and not covering the cost of CIFA. CIDA, the budget we've seen that it will continue to decline for the next 3 years, which is something that we are not happy about, but it's something that had to be done by government to make sure that there are some savings and money can be redirected to other interventions. But as a department, we are not saying we're folding our hands. We are still fighting and also entering into these partnerships with the private sector so that they can also bring their own resources in the space of supporting small business initiatives. We also indicating, Chair, that this reduction in budget will also have an impact in terms of our targets that we need to revise downwards. But for CIFA, we had increased, given the money that we also transferred to them, their budget has increased significantly. They will be affected by the budget cuts, as I indicated in the earlier slide. Chair, in terms of our interventions, especially at the provincial and district level, I indicated earlier that the Minister and Deputy Minister have been leading these interactions, going to all provinces. We try to cover all districts, but it might not be possible for us to reach each and every district, but we've covered as many districts as possible. We've covered all those provinces there. We've also, during April, as this presentation was prepared in April, we had covered Western Cape, 2022 April, we covered quite a number of areas in Western Cape. We also covered Northwest last week. So this week it's Limpopo, and then the last province will be KZN. These are very critical, Chair, because we go together with the province. We also go with the municipalities, and the issues that are raised by small business, sometimes they talk to service delivery issues. So the province, as well as the municipality, they are there to respond to those issues so that whatever we promise or whatever we commit to do in terms of supporting small businesses, we are able to go back and report. So in 6 months' time, in each and every province, we're going back to take up those issues that have been raised and monitor in terms of how far we've gone in ensuring that we respond to those issues. It's not just about talk shows, but we want to make sure that whatever is being raised is responded to by government as a whole, including our municipalities and province. Chair, this is just an indication of the distribution of the support that we have so far under TREP, for example, during 2021-22. Financial year, this is the spread in terms of where most of the money has gone. You will see that in terms of the amounts, Limpopo is leading, followed by Gauteng, and then followed by the Western Cape. But in terms of our DDM model, we are trying to make sure that these things, they don't remain the same like this. We do go to other provinces and we have specific targets for various district municipalities. In terms of the IMEDP Informal and Micro Enterprise Development Program, which is targeted towards informal businesses, this is the distribution so far that we've undertaken during this last financial year. We'll be continuing with the interventions by reprioritizing funding from other areas to also go and cover these other provinces that were not covered during the 2021-22 financial year. Chair, the last slide here, we are recommending that the Select Committee adopts the 2022-23 Annual Performance Plan of the Department of Small Business Development. Chair, as indicated earlier, we have the CEO of CIFA here and some colleagues from the entities. They will also assist in the handling of the questions. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Minister, thank you very much, DG and CFO, for the briefing on the APPs and the budget. It's time now for honourable members to ask questions. Can we have, I don't know who's the Zoom user.
I believe that's Mr. Lonchi, that's Honourable Lonchi.
Oh, okay. Honourable Lord, Honourable Jango.
Yeah, sorry, I donated my laptop after a smash and grab, so I'm toggling between my other devices. when this department got created, we raised concerns, and it was a collective concern about the committee, that aren't we duplicating work, that can be done or used to be done by other departments. And the department came in and gave a lot of reasons and answers as to why they are needed. And then we said, the measurement tool at the end of the day will be how you contribute to job creation in this country. Because we compared it to other emerging economies where SMMEs contribute upwards of 80% of the economic activity and job creation. And we said, that is what we need. We need this department to facilitate that we get into that direction. And every single year, we then raise the issue and say, but then that tool, that measurement tool of how you addressing the growing unemployment rate in this country is you are shying away from that as a department. And we see an ever-increasing salary bill for this department, but we do not see the actual outcome. But even if you go to each of the slides and you do the measurement, I mean, the department comes and brags about jobs that facilitate it, but I am pretty certain if we're going to delve down into each one of those, many of it is people that have already started it, and the department then comes in, gives a small amount, and then claims that as a success for the department. I mean, transfers and subsidies in totals almost 90%. So in other words, you spend 10% employing staff, hiring offices to get people, warm bodies there, and the 90% you just give out the money. So that's just as what my father would say, listen, here is a 1 million. Make sure that you look after your brothers, and I just give all of them half a million each, and I sit back and I take a little bit for myself, and I just leave it. And I don't do any of the other follow-up. I don't see that that money is growing. That money is invested to make sure that it's not continuously a handout that's needed. And that is my big, big, big gripe for this department, that you want us to support this now, but it is not working. I'm going to just one thing that I saw when you flagged the supporting the youth. Let me just get back to my notes. Sorry. There's 10,000 youth businesses that should be supported. There's a number that's basically sucked out of the air. You say your ideal amount that you want, if you get your wish list, you now lamented the fact that you do not have enough money. But even if you do have enough money, it basically comes down to about 24K per youth business that you want to support. Now, in some areas, 24K, if you break that down over a year, it's basically 2,000 a month. That might work in some areas. But in most areas, that will not work. That will not be a sustainable business. And that's even on the broader wish list or the Rolls Royce campaign you want to roll out. And we, Chair, you've been on this committee now for a while as well. We've raised this year in and year out, and I'm concerned that we as a committee are not being a lot harsher on this department in the actual outcome. Because I don't mind if you don't show an income. I mean, that's not what this department was there originally for. But what should be measured, again, is how you ensure that National Treasury has more tax-paying people entering the fray. But we are sitting with an ever-decreasing tax base instead of a growing tax base. And this department that's supposed to help facilitate that is just failing dismally. And we have put forward constructive solutions on how we can get red tape for small businesses removed. But then because it comes from an opposition party, it gets disregarded out of hand. And business as usual.
Are you still there, Honorable Lund?
Increasing wish list and an ever-increasing expenditure by the department on their own internal warm bodies, but we don't see that translating into actual successes. And the successes that was achieved, please understand me that I'm not minimizing that. But if you look at the crisis we are facing in the country, doing it the same way as you've been doing it since the inception of the department is not going to cut it. And this is just doing the same thing over and over again, a tick box exercise, and we are heading for a cliff. It is scary what's going on in the country with the unemployment just growing up or increasing, and this department is not pulling their weight, not contributing. And the question that you asked right at the beginning, and it should still be asked, is it worthwhile? Because what you are doing now, everything that what you are doing now can be done as a subsection in another department. And that's why I'm pleading to you as well that needs to make sure that we hold accountable. We need to step up on this and ask whether this is still the department that adds value, or you're just saying it's another year, we're going through another cycle. But that's for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Lund. Honorable Dango, if you can also put your, I know Honorable Lund has some challenges with the device.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, and this is a question to the Minister. The question of the state guarantees for COVID, the banks did not advance very much of that. But the misrepresentation in the press and by other entities is that 500 billion was lost, which is not correct. Most of that money was in guarantees that was not advanced by the banks. And I think we should have a campaign saying quite clearly that this is the position and not use this as a political campaign. For some, I think, want to create insurrection within the country. My question then is, on the what is their association and involvement with the African Free Trade Agreement, particularly in the areas of agriculture? The question of district champions, can they please send me the list of the district champions in the Gauteng province so I can engage with them. Chairperson, the question of unqualified audits is an important thing. But I think, having listened to Honorable Lund, I think we need to look at the question of performance audits. Unqualified audits is one thing, but performance audits would be another thing. Has the Auditor General actually undertaken performance audits? And if we look at performance audits, so that we actually can look at facts and figures when we're talking about that. The question of blended finance, who are the partners that they're blending with in SAFA? The transfer subsidies of 89%, where does that in fact go to, if we can just get a breakdown on that? The capital assets are flat throughout the years, so I'm not too sure. I just need an explanation on that. And on CEDA and IDC, is IDC acting as a wholesale funder? And what is the margin that IDC charges to CEDA and other entities where they're actually advancing money to? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dango. Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much, Chair. Most of the issues have been addressed, but I would just like to find out as well with regard to fundings. What is the possibility that one could go out and do oversight at these businesses to see for ourselves how the funding has been utilized and has it been beneficial? The other thing that I would also like to see is that we get a 6-monthly report from the department that they've generated from these businesses that have benefited from money given to them by government. Then I'd like to know how the department has been affected with the issuing of tenders after the directive note given by National Treasury. And then we get to the informal traders. Chair, we all know informal traders have been left to their own devices. The environment that they work in is not conducive. And I'd like to know from the department if any engagement is taking place with local municipalities to see how they can be assisted, especially in light of COVID-19. Now, these people do not have access to any ablution facilities. They don't have running water. And this is a health hazard, a huge health hazard. Then I'd also like to know, the president at a SONA address said that a red tape unit would be established. What discussions have taken place between the department and this red tape unit to see where they are going to start addressing the legislation that's impacting on small businesses? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Koshoff. Honorable Muimank.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Chair, the fact that we are midway through the medium-term strategic framework, almost eight years away from 2030 targets of the National Development Plan, I'm more interested in getting a response to the role that the SME is gearing itself towards driving economic growth, because as of the National Development Plan, it is expected that we need to ensure that our target is met to be able to drive economic growth, and unless drastic measures are undertaken to improve the support of the SMEs, we will not be able to meet our target. So I'm more interested in terms of what drastic measures are we taking to ensure that we support the SME to be able to turn the situation around. I'm raising this point, Chair, because of our realization that indeed we need to grow and expand the SMEs with a view to contribute to a new growth trajectory as advocated in the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. But more than that, our belief that a healthy small business sector is indeed a prerequisite to have a growing economy with high employment opportunities, which explains why the reconfiguration by the ruling party in terms of giving most particular emphasis on the role of the Small Business Development Department. I see in terms of the program that deals with the ease of doing business, the ease of doing business, The budget is, I think, yeah, it's sub-program 3 under program 2. Sub-program 3 under program 2. We specifically target the reduction of the administrative and regulatory burden of doing business for SMEs and the budget program is also decreasing by 2.8. So given the impetus that the president has placed in terms of the need to confront the red tapes, are we sure that the amount of budgetary allocation that we are according to this sub-program will enable us to be able to support the initiative from the president, because the understanding is that the red tape has been identified as a key inhibiting factor in terms of the working environment for the SMEs. The third point, Chair, relates to program 4 under enterprise development. This program, as correctly pointed out, amongst it has a CEDA, and the expectation is that the department must be able to provide leadership in terms of policy making to its entities. But one gets a sense that CEDA has its own challenges with regards to the space, which among them is the other agencies assuming the CEDA's mandate. Mind you, this transfer consumes the bulk of the transfers, and it also talks about the introduction of new unrealistic targets and programs by the department with limited resources, which illustrate a sort of a dichotomy, or the entity and the department bypassing each other. But also it talks about the competition with other business development entities at provincial level, the NYDA, whether it is the Gauteng Enterprise Propeller, whether it is the Limpopo Economic Development Agency, whether it is the Mpumalanga Economic Development Agency. I'm not sure what my province, Ngeda, whether it's in the same situation. But I think it becomes important to get a sense in terms of the role that the department is playing in terms of addressing these challenges, because it becomes important that these challenges are addressed, because one would expect this entity to ensure that it toes the line in terms of the policy direction that the department is providing. Other than that, what are the lessons that I think from the GDM model visit that was alluded to by the team that was led by the minister? The result of the matter is that most of the economic activity is taking place in bigger provinces. That will be Gauteng, that will be KwaZulu-Natal, that will be Western Cape. Is there any targeted approach that could be designed to ensure that we sort of turn the situation around. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mwinang, followed by Honorable Mshodi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon and greetings to Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. Let me start, Honorable Chairperson, by welcoming the presentation from the Department. My first question, Honorable Chairperson, is what are the challenges presented by the capacity of staff establishment under Program 1 in increasing the footprint of the Department programs across all provinces, Honorable Chairperson? That's number one. Number two, Honorable Chairperson, what is the arrangement on the reduction of red tape by department currently, given that the red tape reduction unit has been moved to DPME department? That's number two, Honorable Chairperson. Number three, Honorable Chairperson, my question is, what is the plan of the department in ensuring that capacity is developed to the rural and township entrepreneurs under TREP program so that they can graduate from informal traders to medium-sized businesses? Honorable Chairperson, that is my third question. The last one, Honorable Chairperson, I just want to check, is the department able to determine the contribution of SMEs and cooperatives to decent employment in employment numbers? That's number four, Honorable Chairperson, for now. Thank you very much to allow me to ask this question, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Earlier I saw the hand of Honorable Aplin. I don't know if he's still connected. Honorable Aplin?
Thanks, Chair. Let me apologize for the video, but also
are you still there?
Yes, Chair.
We've lost you for a minute.
For a minute, I'm so sorry. No, Chair, I think I'm mostly covered okay. Because I was going to speak about the question of the rural economic development, which has been covered a lot by a number of speakers before me. And then also the question of informal traders. I think Honorable Boshoff has covered me on that as well. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much.
I think I'm being covered. I would just wait.
Honorable, we might say follow-up. Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Apley. Honorable Moimang, is that a follow-up or hold hands? Okay.
Then all
right. No, if you can lower it. Just for me, I just want to find out. Firstly, we agree that there was a call for the establishment of the Small Business Development Department. You know, by people of South Africa. Because it was just a program in the Department of Trade and Industry, and then businesses were complaining that there was not much focus on small business enterprises. So hence the call, and then our government responded to that call. So we don't have any problem with the establishment of the department. I just wanted to clarify that it's not a collective view of the members of the committee. But also this is also in the NDP that most jobs will be created by small businesses. But the challenge that we're having with the strategic plan and APP, perhaps the minister should be addressing, is this the issue of the reduction by 6% over the MTF period. It's a concern for a department that is responsible for job creation, because as I indicated that most jobs will be created by small businesses, and therefore more money should be put into the department to ensure and also assist the small businesses to create jobs. But if now continuously there's a drop in terms of the budget that should be allocated to the department. I just want also to find out if there is any fund, because there's this youth challenge fund that in the report you referred to DG, whether there's any allocation that has been budgeted for it, or is it the fund still in the process of being established? So if you can just clarify that aspect. But also on the issue of the red tape, I just wanted to ask, because I think last year we indicated that there's some weaknesses with some local government LEDs units, and that was, you confirm it, DG, but also raise it with the DTIC, because also DTIC report in this committee. They also confirm that there are weaknesses as they work with the with the LEDs. They also observe that there's some weaknesses with the LEDs in municipalities. As I'm just asking, as you are involved in this red tape reduction program, assisting the municipalities, are you also assisting in strengthening the LEDs, but also in line with the DGM processes? I'm a bit worried about the period that it's going to take for the businesses amendment bill. I see that it will only come in Parliament in 2024, part of it will be a new term, which will be the seventh term. Usually, if the bill is not passed before the end of the term, it then lapses. And then the following term, it starts from beginning. Now it means the department again must brief the portfolio committee of the NA and then go through all those processes of lawmaking and then goes to the NCOP. So I'm a bit worried because, as you were indicating, DG, there are issues that businesses are concerned with, issues of issuance of licenses and permits that this particular bill is supposed to be addressing. But I'm worried about the time period that it's going to take to bring it to Parliament. It would have been good if it could be brought to Parliament before the end of the term, so that perhaps by 2024-2025 you could be starting with the implementation. But also with the small enterprise bill, it's not clear when it's going to come to Parliament in terms of the processes. But also the ombuds one service, I don't know whether there should be have its own vote, budget vote, instead of getting monies from the department for the purposes of independence. If you can just clarify that aspect. And then also the issue of the finalization of the organizational structure. I don't know if you have any time frames with regard to that, because we have been raising it over the years, the issue of the finalization of organizational structure, where some positions have acting DDGs. So it would be good if you can just clarify in terms of the time frames. I think personally, I'm impressed with this trap, but wish that we could have more money put towards this particular program. I managed to read its details in terms of how it funds the blended finance part of it and the requirements in terms of qualifying for it. But also, I'm happy with the with the roadshows that the ministry is taking so that they hear for themselves the challenges and also the progress with regard to and the achievement that the small businesses are indicating as they meet with them. I'm very impressed and this should be continuing. I know there's a program, it has been indicated, the provinces, that the ministry is still going to visit. Yeah, thanks very much. If we, I don't know, Minister, if you perhaps want to come first or last. I see there's a hand of Honorable Moshodi.
Thank you.
Follow-up. Okay.
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. It's not a follow-up as such. It's my last question. If you can allow me to ask this question before the department responds. Chairperson, I just want to check, is any progress that can be reported by department and each entity rolling out funding support to businesses affected by social unrest on July 2021? Affecting KZN and Gauteng province. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. If we can get any progress made by department and its entity funding support to the businesses affected by social unrest in July 2021, affecting KZN and Gauteng province, Chairperson. That is the last question that I forget to ask. Thank you, Chair, to allow me.
Okay, maybe the department can just give us an overview with regard to that. But if we need more details, we'll have to invite the department specifically to come and address the committee on that aspect. If there will be more or details, final details with regard to that. For now, maybe they can just respond, give us a broad overview in terms of the progress. Minister, you'll indicate whether the DGE and CFO should go first, and the entities, and then come last.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Yes, I would like to hand over to the DG and everybody else, then I will come last. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mafak. DG?
No, thanks, Chair. Maybe the CEO of CIFA, I think he is here. He can just cover quickly those because there are few. And then we'll start as a department after the CEO.
Okay. CEO of CIFA, Mr. Manchama.
Thank you, sir. Let me start with the last one, Chair. We were given instruction that we will be given an opportunity as entities to come and brief the committee with regards to all those interventions that CIFA is implementing on behalf of the department, particularly the one that relates to the interventions that we implemented with regards to the riots in KZN and Gauteng.
No, actually, if I can just come in there, we had scheduled today for you and CIDA, but then there was some delay with regard to the tabling of the APPs. We were supposed to meet with the department, I think, on the 4th of May.
Yes,
but
sir.
Then to accommodate the department and to brief us on the APP, we're still going to meet with you. We decided that we'll shift it. Unfortunately, we're going to go for constituency period, the whole month of July. So you'll be one of the first departments or entities that will be meeting when we come back in August on the same issue. So you don't have to go into detail therefore on that particular issue. We'll deal with it in August. We're meant to deal with it today, but we have to accommodate the department on the APP and budget.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Just briefly on that one, Chair, we've received the applications, we processed them, and to date we've approved about 237 million for the applicants who are affected by the riots in both provinces. When we come back to the portfolio committee to report, we'll be in a position to indicate how many were in KZN and how many were supported in the province of Gauteng. Chairperson, but so far we've approved about 237 million in that regard. Chair, coming to the question around the support to SMEs and the work that we're doing jointly with the department. We are, Chair, contributing a lot, I must argue, as the portfolio towards the support of SMEs and job creation in the economy. For example, for the year that ended March 2021, which is last year, SIMFA alone, we provided access to finance to 74,000 SMEs. And we will be reporting, Chairperson and Honourable Members, quite soon, the performance for the year that ended in March 2022, which is this year. The unaudited numbers indicate that we've supported this year close to 84,000 SMEs in the economy. And Chair, you can go and talk to any bank. There's no bank in this country that has provided that kind of level of support to SMEs, not personal loans. We're talking about loans to SMEs. With regards to the issue of credit guarantee, we will appeal to
Are you able to put on your video?
Okay.
Thank you.
Am I visible? Thank you, Chair. As I said, we will be reporting, Chairperson, the performance for the year that ended March 2022 and the impact that the portfolio, that CIFA alone, that we've actually driven with regards to the support of SMEs in the economy. The unaudited numbers are sitting at around 84,000, and they may increase because we're still waiting for some of the intermediaries that we do funding jointly to provide their final numbers. Then, Chair, coming to the issue of credit guarantees, I'll appeal to the House not to confuse the credit guarantee that was driven by the Treasury and the Reserve Bank and the credit guarantee that is driven by CIFA through Cooler Credit Guarantee. The KCG credit guarantee, we work, Chairperson, with almost all the banks, except what we call Investec. And Investec, the client base is not even our target market. We're working with Absa, we're working with FNB, we're working with Standard Bank, we're working with NetBank. We're finalizing a relationship with Bitvest Bank, and we're also finalizing a relationship with Capitec because through their acquisition of one of the small banks, boutique banks, I just forgot the name, they are looking now at entering the business or SME funding space. And we're engaging them to have a credit guarantee, a relationship with them so that they can extend credit to SMEs. That, Chair and Members, is one of our successful programs because it speaks to the intervention that government seeks to drive, i.e. crowding in the private sector to provide support to SMEs and also accessing the balance sheets of the banks, because the way our credit guarantee works is that we provide guarantees to the banks that extend credit to SMEs, and they use their own balance sheets to lend to the SMEs. And CIFA comes in to provide a guarantee on the back of those loans that actually they've extended to SMEs. For the year, Chair, that ended March, again, 2021, we extended credit guarantees to these banks to the tune of approximately 201 million rands. And the banks, in return, extended credit to the SMEs to the tune of 1.3 billion, which is a multiplier effect of 6.25. Now, this year that ended in March, we anticipate that the multiplier effect of our intervention through the provision of credit guarantee will give us, that says still not an audited number, approximately 6.4 multiplier effect, which is higher than the multiplier effect that we actually achieved in the year ended March 2021. It's a program that we intend to roll out because it relieves the fiscus, because we don't use the fiscus for this credit. The banks use their own balance sheets to extend credit to SMEs. But the critical issue on the credit guarantee chair and members, if what the Treasury didn't do when there is a bank is to put conditionalities. You can't just blankly give credit guarantee to banks without any conditionalities, because they will continue supporting the people that they are supporting. With our credit guarantee, the rules are clear. There are conditionalities that we put for the banks to extend that credit to the SMEs, and predominantly a black-owned SMEs in the main. And the banks are not resisting that. It's working. It's been working. And it's a program that we want to upscale as we rope in more banks in the space, Chairperson. If there's a question, Chair, that I probably missed, I'll request the maybe the DG to remind me. But the top of the mind, those are the questions that I felt I needed to tackle, Chairperson. Thank you.
And the Youth Challenge Fund?
The Youth Challenge Fund, Chair, is one of the interventions that we are rolling out. It took off a bit slow. Why? When we rolled out or advertised the program last year, we received a CIFA approximately 2,570 applications from youth-owned entities. One of the things that came up immediately was that only out of that 2,570 give or take applicants, only 98% were complete. Complete in the sense that basic information like financial projections, that what are you going to use this money for? Basic information about the registration of the company with the CIPC, all that basic information. And we then are working with CEDA to have these entities being to be assisted to complete the information. What is emerging here is that the youth is not financial, funding ready, if I may say. And what then that necessitated is that what we discussed with the CEO of CEDA was that we need some form of an academy where we put these youngsters maybe through a program of 3 months, give or take, on business management. Basic understanding that to be able to access this money, you must have your entity registered with the CIPC, have your tax registration with SARS, and have a bank account. Because some of them, they use their own personal bank account instead of using a business bank account. And the CIFA, we don't disperse funds to personal bank accounts, because that now becomes a personal loan and not a business loan. So we going to be putting that intervention, Chairperson, in place to assist these SMEs, because a majority of them, they are just completely not funding ready, Chairperson. And we are now going to put those interventions in place. I think the last time I checked, the chair, we were sitting, that was around March, around 38 million of approvals in that space. And we, now that we've closed the year in March, the months of April and May, we've been chasing those applications and assisting those that are at least 80 to 100% ready with the information to help them to cross the line. So we will be reporting again Chairperson in progress when we are called back to the committee. But the critical issue is that we need some form of, you know, in government they've got this course they call finance for non-financial managers. We need some form of a similar training on business management for these SMEs so that they understand the basic requirements of setting up an entity. And also, we also provide the mentorship post-funding for those ones that we are able to identify that they actually need mentorship for them to keep their business running. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. So, CEO, there was two questions. The one about the ITC, whether they act as a wholesale lender, as well as the blended finance, how it's okay. Working.
Okay. Thank you, DJ. Number one, we as CIFA, not IDC, we are a wholesale funder. Maybe let me just give a brief background check. CIFA has got mainly three funding streams. One is direct lending, where we fund clients or SMMEs directly, those SMMEs that apply directly to CIFA. That's one. Two, we've got the credit guarantee, which we do funding through the commercial banks and other corporates, for example, Max Steel, who provides steel to steel fabricators on credit, and the CIFA will provide credit guarantee to Max Steel in case both the steel fabricators default on the credit that Max Steel provides. That's two. Three, we've got what we call wholesale funding. Wholesale funding, we work with SMME wholesale funders. These are in the main your entities, Jefferson, that provide funding to SMEs who get a contract in the mining houses, for example, to supply certain inputs, or get a government contract or tender or purchase order to supply certain services or goods to government. Then we provide what we call funding for those intermediaries who in turn then provide or extend credit to those entities that service contracts and tenders. And then within wholesale, we've got intermediaries who are predominantly rural-based. They provide or extend credit to women in the main, women-owned entities in the rural areas. Some of them are involved in knitting school uniforms. Others are in the agri space. And those are the people that the microfinance intermediaries then extend credit to. So the wholesale funding element is ours as CIFA. And those are two main streams within the wholesale funding space that we provide funding. Blended finance. Chair, we are shifting now as CIFA the strategy of how do we extend credit to SMEs, particularly for those that we provide direct lending. Because we realize that, particularly for startups, there is a challenge of working capital. And in the main, if you only give these entities loans, you are increasing their gearing. And as a result, they struggle to meet their financial obligations. So the decision that the entity took with the leadership of the minister is that some of these entities or the loans that we extend to these entities must be blended with an element of credit and an element of a grant. What that grant portion does, it reduces the gearing of the new entity, and also it gives the entity a breathing space to pay some of the basic cost of the startup. And for example, where it has worked very well so far is in the Small Manufacturing Support Program. It's one of our most popular what we call programs that we provide, which really speaks to the government's what we call program or strategy of import replacement, where we drive local manufacturing by supporting these emerging manufacturers. There we provide Jefferson a loan up to the tune of 15 million, and 20% of that loan is a grant, which is equal to 3 million. And that 3 million makes a huge difference in assisting those SMEs to reduce their gearing and be able to cover some of their basic costs as they start the business. So that is how our blended finance is structured. And now, Chair, we're doing further work and research to see, for example, should we be extending blended finance to programs like your Amavulandlela, which targets people with disabilities who run businesses, and also to other programs like your microfinance to these rural women, because that is where our major development impact, by the way, Jefferson, comes from, is through microfinance, because there we're able to spread our reach to those people that ordinarily wouldn't have access to finance. So that is how we structure and we plan, Jefferson, to go forward in structuring our blended finance. And what that does also, Jefferson, is that the reduction of the loan component reduces even the interest that the business will eventually have to pay back as they service the loan, because now the loan component will be reduced as the grant component of that finance a product that we have provided to the SMME. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, sir.
Perhaps if, also on finance, if you can just clarify the on TREP, the approvals and the disbursements, where, for example, say Eastern Cape has been approved at 29, but they've dispersed 16, then what happened to the rest? So why are they not released?
Thank you, sir. With TREP, we've restructured TREP, Chairperson, and we'll report when you come back.
Yes.
Because TREP was looking at different subsectors within the economy with different thresholds. Some were, for example, sitting at 250,000, with 50,000 being a grant. Some of them would be sitting at 150, with a certain percentage being a grant. But what we've what the decision that we've taken with the department is that we collapse all the TREP subsectors into one program, that being TREP. And within that program, we said the cap is going to be 1 million with a 10% of that being a grant, up to a maximum of 100,000. And then now we're going to, because we're implementing that one share in this new financial year, we're going to be measuring the performance of that, because what we realize is that when you design these programs, you need to understand the binding constraints of that sector and make sure that the response that you put in place as government responds to the needs of the market, not what we want as government, but what the people on the ground want. For example, we had an automotive support program, which was at the time, I think, equivalent to 100,000, 150,000. And the questions were raised. I said, way back in my other life, I used to work for BP funding workshops for the OEMs. And that was like 1999, 2000. To set up a workshop, the hoist that lifts the car at the time used to cost 150,000. So when you give a workshop operator 150,000, are you funding them just to buy the lift? What about all the other tools that they need to set up the workshop? And we realized that the demand on the ground, the reason why the automotive support program couldn't move is because the money that we're providing was nowhere near, not even 1% of what they wanted to set up a workshop. Then when we revised the TREP program, said, this is now allowing space for these people to come and build up proper workshops with the money that we're providing. And we'll be testing now the response of the market to the increased threshold. The issue of approvals, Chairperson, is the nature of the animal. Whether we are a private bank or a development finance institution, you approve a loan and you say to a person, this loan is approved subject. Let's say, for example, a person who gets a contract to repair. There's a client that we got a request. He's repairing the wheels of the Transnet wagons. He applied for funding. He said, okay, fine. The loan is approved, but subject to you giving us a contract between yourself and Transnet so that we can be able to get the comfort that it's not fraudulent. There is indeed an existing appointment between you as an SME and Transnet. We say we want also for you to give us a bank confirmation letter that says, yes, this bank account belongs to company ABCD. So the time that the client takes to get the confirmation of the appointment with Transnet, to get the bank confirmation letter that this is indeed the bank account of this company, determines how fast then do you disperse. If that person takes 2 weeks, then you'll be able to disperse that money within 2 weeks. But if they take 3 months, you can only disperse in 3 months' time. So it's the nature of the business that we do. There will always be a lag between approvals and disbursements because of those what we call conditions precedent. Because the Auditor General is going to come at the end of the year and say, okay, fine, you disperse this money. Can you prove to me that the money went to the bank account of this particular entity? How can you then confirm that? Can you prove it to me that this person was indeed appointed by Transnet? Give us proof. So as we do the work, we need to have the AG in mind that when they come, our tax line approach, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Back to you, DG.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, CEO. I'll quickly ask Colin, the executive from CEDA, to talk on the capacity building for small businesses, especially those that benefited from TRAP. Colin?
Thank you, DG. Thank you, colleagues. I think it is important then to just start by saying the mandate of CEDA as per the Small Business Amendment Act is to be an ecosystem facilitator within, you know, the ecosystem. And one of the things that we are trying to do is to demystify competition and rather work with, you know, entities that's like-minded to CEDA. And when I had joined, I heard the conversation on enterprise development and the fact that there's, you know, a little bit of a struggle. But what we are saying as CEDA is that we're looking at how do we make sure that we work with, you know, entities that's like-minded so that we can then look at not only what CEDA needs to achieve as a mandate, but what our country needs to achieve in terms of, you know, poverty alleviation as well as unemployment. If I can just look at some of our figures that we were reporting on for quarter four and then for the financial year, specifically on TREP. So when we look at TREP, and I think the CEO of CIFA had mentioned that you have to look at pre-investment and then, you know, there's an investment happening and then there's post-investment. And CEDA plays quite a critical part within the pre-investment as well as in the post-investment. Part of what assists entrepreneurs with registration, with the Commission of Intellectual Property and Companies, we also assist them with the SARS tax registration, be it pay as you earn, companies tax, as well as value added tax. And then we also assist in terms of bank accounts to the opening of banking accounts, business banking accounts, so that we do know that when they do transact with CIFA, that they, the monies that will be paid into a banking account. But on the number of, you know, the TRIP, because there's about 7-8 programs that we were looking at, on the spaza shops and general dealers supported, we assisted 6,694 spaza shops in general. If I just look at our outreach in terms of our entrepreneurship awareness sessions, we looked at or we assisted 67,000 SMMEs throughout the country. We also, when we look at the number of personal care businesses supported, those are the ones that in hair care, you know, they also doing it, or it's massage parlors, et cetera. And there we've assisted 2,738 of those entrepreneurs. And this is through training. It could be technical training. It could be, like I said, some of the other things that we have done. But there's obviously a continuum of work that we do in terms of making sure that they are ready for finance. And then once they were financed, we will then come back in and then we will assist them with the post-investment. We also looked at our number of informal and micro restaurants in Chisanyamas, which we supported. And there we've supported 3,425. And just a disclaimer as well, from a CEDA perspective, these are unaudited numbers. We are still going through the audits as we speak. Our number of fruit and vegetable vendors which we supported is 4,333 that we have supported. Number of panel beaters, our motor mechanics, our auto spares and auto fitment business supported centers, we have assisted 2,305 of the entrepreneurs and SMMEs, that's panel beaters or motor mechanics. Then we also looked at our small-scale bakeries and confectionaries, which we've supported, and there we've supported 2,546 of these entrepreneurs with non-financial assistance. We also then looked at our clothing, leather, and textile businesses, which we've supported, and there we've supported just about 3,631 of them. Butcheries we looked at, and there we've assisted 2,216. And then one thing that is quite important to mention as well is CEDA as a whole was able to, you know, assist in terms of the number of jobs we were able to create and a number of jobs that we've created or that we assisted in creating within the space is 4,865. Also, I think I've mentioned at the beginning that we cannot do this alone. So that thing of, you know, CEDA alone and not really looking at the entire ecosystem, that is something of the past, especially through the district development model. We want to make sure that people that is, you know, in the space is assisting in terms of getting those numbers. So our SMMEs and cooperatives that was assisted through the ecosystem, we assisted 62,240 of those. I think it is also important just to mention that although we're looking at technical training, we look at, you know, training of the jockey, which is the person that's really driving the business. We also look at how best do we bring in certain aspects such as productivity improvement or quality assessments that we do wherever they are needed. And therefore, holistically, we look at the business and say that this is how we want to see, you know, a business moving forward with some of the specific interventions that we have. Those are not the only interventions. So although we're speaking of the Township and Rural Entrepreneurship Program, we have different interventions within finance and legal that we assist with. For instance, we look at business registrations, which I spoke about, business planning, our financial management, where we look at costing, we look at basic bookkeeping. One of the other things that we have done was we actually procured point of sale devices, and those point of sale devices are now being distributed to some of our spaza shops that is, you know, being assisted by CEDA and CIFA. Then we also look at human resource development, because it is important that staff gets training as well as mentorship, our skills development planning, as well as I've spoken about productivity and with our quality improvement that I've also spoken about. One of the big ones that we also look at is marketing interventions, where we look at, you know, packaging. What does the packaging look like for some of these entrepreneurs with that's in the rural areas as well as in townships? And then we assist them to get the packaging better. We assist them with QR coding, you know, marketing plans or strategies that they might need, as well as trade exhibitions where there might be trade exhibitions where they can go to and display some of the products that they do, you know, on maybe a very small scale, where now we now can assist them to actually accelerate and also scale the business to a bigger business then. Digi, I think that is what I wanted to say just on the TREP program from a CEDA perspective, but it's something that's continually being, you know, done. We're looking at how do we improve some of the ones that we have. I think the CEO from CIFA already spoke about how the program in itself is changing, and we do want to make sure that every business within the township, and not only the ones that we've previously assisted, gets assisted through the assistance of CEDA and CIFA, so that they are able then to, you know, contribute meaningfully to the economy. Thanks, DG.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Colin. Let me respond to some of the questions before Minister comes in. Maybe I'll start with the Chair's questions and go back upwards. Foundation of the structure, Chair, I must indicate that there has been some traction in the last few weeks. The Portfolio Committee did invite the PSA to come through, and they came and made a presentation. We are engaging weekly with the PSA. We had informally, because the process is the minister has to sign off the final structure that she approves and then share it with the PSA for concurrence and final approval. So to fast track the process, there was an engagement at a ministerial level, and then the officials were asked to go and work and make sure that we finalize this as soon as possible. So we've been engaging weekly documents to and fro. They've asked for confirmation of the budget, for example, and we've supplied that information. They've analyzed so that it, when minister submits, we don't have a problem where it,
we've lost you now, DG. DG?
Apologies, Chair. I'm
muted.
Apologies, Chair. I'm trying to change the connectivity. I think there is a challenge with the Wi-Fi. Chair, I was saying we have started with that process. So there are these weekly engagements between officials from the department as well as officials from TPSA. So we should be submitting within the next 2 weeks after minister's approval. And then we should be having a structure. So we are very much positive, Chair, that the issue of the structure will finally be resolved. The issue of the National Small Enterprise Act, the advice from DPSA is because whatever entity we establish, we still need to get their approval as well as National Treasury, is that we have to establish this for the first 4 years. It should be established as a juristic person within the department. In the medium term, then it will become a public entity falling under Schedule 3A because it will depend on government funding. So the startup costs will be have to be reprioritized from the department, the initial ones, and then at some stage it has to be, as because it will operate as a juristic person, it will have to be budgeted for separately, like CIDA. CIDA is a Schedule 3A entity. They do get a deadline item through us from National Treasury. So there is that process that we need to incubate the entity first before it can be an independent institution. The Businesses Act, yes, we put those targets there, but there is a push really to make sure that the business this act comes to Parliament as soon as possible. But we're also aware of the challenges that we're going to face along the way. As I indicated earlier, there was an attempt in 2013 by TTIC and that bill was crushed. They have just abandoned it in 2013. So we are taking up those issues that were very, they were raising a lot of emotions from quite a number of people. Others were saying we're just adding red tape with the revision of the Act and all those things, but it's important that it gets revised. There is some sort of uniformity across the sector. So we are pushing that it gets finalized as soon as possible. We know that we have to consult widely, consult with the provinces, because one of the structures that will be interested in this, that will be affected by whatever changes we make, will be the municipalities, because they do generate income through these permits that they issue. Some they charge a lot of money, others they charge reasonably. So we expect a lot of contestation around this bill. That's why we are realistic in terms of the timelines. But there is a commitment. The minister is also clear that we need to move with the Businesses Act as soon as possible. But we hope we'll also get assistance from Parliament side when it comes to Parliament to make sure that it gets done as soon as possible. Issue of red tape, it's an issue that we have raised and it gets raised in various structures. One of the issues that we have tried or we're trying to do from our side in terms of what can we do to increase support through CIDA, for example, we are targeting to establish an additional 80 access points. So that these, they complement the work that is done by CIDA, but also the work that is done by the municipalities. We know that in some areas, we are talking to municipalities just to avail a space so that we can establish this service point for CIDA, so that we can reach as many small businesses as possible. But also believe that this will also empower the local municipalities to have people who are dedicated in supporting small businesses, but also they can get guidance, you know, from the CIDA officials who will be located in these areas. In some instances, we know that we are not going to have CIDA officials because we can't expand the budget, especially when it comes to getting more employees. So we'll have to train the local people to assist us in dealing or in providing the support to small businesses and cooperatives. In terms of the allocation for now for YCF, what we are doing, Chair, because we said we cannot just sit and say until Treasury allocates funding, let's look at the existing budget and take that 30% and reallocate it to youth challenge fund so that there is money that is being spent. So even on TREP, the blended finance, all these programs that we have, we said 30% of it at least must be set aside for funding young people. For now, the only money that is a straight allocation is the money that was reprioritized from Gazelles, which is 29 million for this year, and it increases over the MTF. And then the other questions that were asked, Honorable Moshodi, the issue of the reduction of red tape, Chair, I must indicate that it has not been moved to GPME. The champion that is at the presidency, they are working closely. They've already met with the minister to introduce themselves because they are aware that there is work that we are doing. We had presented in terms of what we are doing as a department, but also they participated in the inter-provincial red tape reduction task team meeting where they sat with us and also engaged with the province just to understand, because they need to understand what is being done by various provinces, but also to identify those five critical areas that we can deliver on as per the discussions between the office and the minister. So there is that process that is ongoing. The provinces have submitted some of the information in terms of the critical areas around red tape, because we cannot sit here in Pretoria and assume that we know what is happening in each and every province. So there is that working relationship between ourselves and the red tape reduction office, because the location of that unit is very critical, because there are things that we recommend to various government departments that affect SMMEs negatively, but it's up to them to implement those recommendations. We don't have any lever. So this location of a person at the presidency is very critical, because they will be able to direct departments to amend certain policies if they have to, so that the tape is reduced. Chair, on the issue of the contribution of SMEs to decent employment, we do have a target. We can come through to the committee just to present in terms of what we've discovered in terms of the contribution, because we utilize for now the information that is available. For example, the income tax, their contribution when it comes to the company's income tax, we look at their contribution when it comes to the turnover and all those things. So we do have a complete presentation where we can come through to the committee and make a presentation on how SMMEs over the years, they have been contributing to employment as well as economic growth. Chair, on the challenges due to capacity constraints, especially under Program 1, one issue that we normally raise is that it doesn't matter how big the department or the size of the department, we are still expected to comply with certain provisions. For example, you under finance, you need to have two people, one dealing with management accounts. We need another person, you know, dealing with financial administration. So those things, it doesn't matter. You still need to have proper capacity, because there's also a delegation of duties or separation of duties within those areas. But with the revised structure that we are engaging with National Treasury on, we are addressing those matters. For example, we never had, you know, an internal control function. It's located somewhere. Someone is delivering on that service within the department. So there is really that feeling from some officials that a lot is expected of them, whereas those activities can be delivered with the appropriate capacity. So we are including the issue of the capacity in the issue of in the structure that is being revised and submitted to DPSA. But we are always conscious, Chair, that government does not sit with deep pockets. We need to be very thin and efficient in terms of what we put across as a structure. Chair, in terms of the questions raised by Honorable Moima, there are quite a number of lessons learned. I think the Minister will also cover this, but there's quite an interesting you know, thread that we are getting across, is that some of the issues really are issues that are around capacity building, but also the issue of accessibility. That's why we are responding through CEDA in establishing more contact points so that people can access, because some of them were complaining about the accessibility of these offices, because some of them are located in urban areas. So there is really good lessons that we are learning, and we are already responding to these matters that are being raised by SMMEs in the interactions that we've had through the DDM interactions, but also all the engagements we end with the dialogue, where we also bring in the private sector, because it doesn't help when SMEs are only looking at government. They come, the private sector guys, they come and present the opportunities from their side, so that as government, we can also come in and support them with capacity so that they can be able to take advantage of these supply development opportunities in particular. The issue of duplication of activities, but also having other entities assuming the mandate, especially of SIDA. SIDA is operating at national, and there's, when we started with the process of incorporating CIFA and CBDA into SIDA, at some stage, DPSA was saying we must also incorporate all these other entities at provincial level into this. They must be part of this process, but we're realistic in terms of what is possible for now. For now, we just need to get this CIFA and CBDA incorporated into SIDA. And then we can then, as a process, because a lot of things can go wrong if you try to do everything at the same time, because you also do not want to disturb the way things are happening, you know, in the system. Because if you take all entities and try and integrate them, you can really create chaos at the end of the day. So it's important for us that we address this. We do have structures shared through MINMEC. There is a joint MINMEC that is led by Department of Tourism, where we participate in. Also, we participate together with Department of Trade and Industry, where we also share our plans with the various provinces. Minister has met with almost all the MECs. There is one, I think, that is we have not met with, but where we also present our plans to them so that they can know what we are doing, as it assists them to align our programs at the national as well as the provincial department. The ease of doing business, I think I've covered that, but it's a very critical area, because some of the interventions that we have as a department, we are limited in terms of the resources. The money that we have that we disperse through a CIFA, for example, covering over 80,000, is quite a lot in terms of the numbers, but we know that we have over 2.5 million SMMEs. We cannot reach all of them. But when it comes to the interventions on the red tape reduction, on the legislation, we are able to impact a number of SMEs, even those that are not getting that direct support from us. That's why we've elevated the work that we are doing around the space. These two bills that we are busy with, even the review of all legislation, we believe that if we can do this, this will have a bigger impact in terms of impacting the whole ecosystem rather than impacting those that are able to access both our financial as well as non-financial support. So, Chair, we are serious about this work that we are doing in this area. We also are aware that 90% of the 11 million jobs that are supposed to be created are supposed to come from SMEs as well as expanding businesses as per the NDP target. But I think there are quite a number of areas that have also disturbed our plans as government. The issue of COVID has disturbed us. The economic challenges that we are facing, even the disruptions that happened in July last year, they really disturbed us. Now the crisis that we face now, the floods in KZN, because we have to redirect support, as the CEO was saying, to these urgent interventions. So we have been along the way disturbed by these or interrupted in our plans by all these activities, where we are expected to respond as a Department of Small Business Development, but working in partnership with others. So there will be those things, I'm sure. The National Planning Commission has done some review, and they've made some recommendations on what we need to do in certain areas. But the programs that are introduced also by government, including the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan, is also trying to make sure that we are able to recover as an economy. I think I've spoken to the issue of the red tape for the questions from Honorable Boshoff in terms of the establishment of the red tape unit in the presidency, that they are playing that very important role where they are able to take our recommendations forward, because we cannot go around and tell other government departments what to do. We can always make recommendations and persuade them, but the discussions in terms of directing specific departments to do certain things can come from presidents. I'm sure we've seen some successes with the Vulindlela interventions, where some there were presentations last week where we've seen significant progress in terms of their interventions. Informal businesses, definitely, we like we indicated, we do have specific schemes that talk to informal businesses. But the as government, when COVID struck, we did come up with quite a number of interventions to support informal businesses in particular. We also even introduced the suspension of the payment of license fees for municipalities. I must indicate that the compliance was a concern. Some municipalities ignored us. We did raise the issues. The city of Town was one of the municipalities where we had some challenges with them complying with that. But this year, the that had areas, but we're saying, can you suspend the requirement for the payment of the fee, because informal businesses have been affected by COVID. Most of them were not operating, and they were not also getting the consumers that they used to get. So we do have these interventions, but our Businesses Act as well is aimed at supporting informal businesses, ensuring that we are able to get these issues uniform across the country, the issue of the fees. Because that's one of the biggest issues that has been raised by informal businesses, that these permits are very expensive, and you find that it's mostly people who have lost jobs who are starting informal businesses. So how do you expect them to pay 5,000 rand just to get a permit? So this is the intervention that we are pushing through the Businesses Act. Lastly, on the informal businesses, also the infrastructure that we are setting up, it's targeting informal businesses, because we want to create that conducive environment for them to operate the shared economic infrastructure facility, where we are partnering both with the private sector as well as municipalities to provide these facilities. Chair, we've been affected, maybe CFO will expand on this one, with the advisory, they call it an advisory note from Treasury, because we had to halt any new tenders from the 16th of February, so we did not proceed with the issuing of new tenders. We had to apply for an exemption to proceed with certain procurement, and we did that. It took a little bit long, but they have responded to us and gave us a go-ahead, because it was also restricting us in terms of even getting GTEC to come and support us with the incorporation of CIFA and CBDA into CIFA. So they've given us a go-ahead. Last week we did get that, so we are proceeding with those tenders that we have been exempted, but also amending our own procurement policies so that we are not found wanting because of the suspension of the PPPFA. Chair, I think it's the issue of oversight. I think it's the right of the committee. They can conduct oversight on the enterprises that have been supported. And I think the possibility of getting those reports is something that is possible, but I must indicate that in the 6 months might be too short, because other businesses, you get approval. As the CEO was saying, it can take a little bit of time for them to finalize all the compliance requirements before the money is dispersed to them, and then they have to go and procure the equipment that they need. So you might not really get the impact within a 6 month period, but I think the committee can do the oversight because it's part of the mandate of the committee. So it might assist to give them a little bit more time for them to start operating and generating income, so that you can be able to say, when your project or your business was approved, this is where you were, these are many people you have, we were employing at that time, and then now after a period of a year or so, now you are able to generate more revenue. You've added more people, and I think that will assist. CEO covered the questions by Honorable Dango, but the performance audit, definitely we're going to be, the AG has started with the performance audit, and they will be dealing with this work and presenting it to Parliament. We can share the details of the district champions. We don't have a problem with that. Involvement with the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement. The minister is in the process of having or hosting an SMME, Africa SMME conference. We do have the support of the African Development Bank because we also want to look at the opportunities across the African continent, especially for SMMEs. We don't want them to miss out on this Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement. So there will be that conference which involves small businesses and ministers across the African continent, but we'll also be prioritizing the biggest economies so that we can share opportunities, share, you know, the value chains, you know, because some of the things that we are procuring from Europe, from Asia, some of the things we can get them from our sister countries in the African continent. So there will be that engagement further, because we really don't want to miss out on this opportunity. Chair, lastly, not be able to answer, but we, because some they are political in nature, but the money that we are doing, we have not been doing it efficiently in the past 2 years, because there were some monies that were sitting with the department. So we were focusing on the money that was dispersed by the department. But since now we've clarified this and make sure that every resource, especially the money that is targeted towards supporting SMEs and cooperatives, individual businesses, goes to CIFA, it puts us in a position as a department to be able to oversee this, go follow up, and so that the money does get to businesses and it does make an impact in terms of supporting those businesses. In instances where, for example, there is a target chair that is on the APP, where we want to evaluate the incubation support program, we'll see that in terms of the budget, significant amount of money that is allocated to CIDA goes to incubation support, and we are planning to expand these incubators across the country. And it's important for us as a department to follow the money. It's important for us, I think, to also increase the warm bodies because we are expected to comply like any other government department. So having fewer people does not assist us as a department, because demands are as high as those that are placed on bigger departments. So we do have that responsibility to make sure that we do have capacity from our side. One of the additions, for example, in this structure, we want to get these sector specialists who can assist us to identify and scrutinize all the opportunities across all these master plans, but also look at what interventions should we come up with as a department to make sure that SMMEs do benefit from all these master plans. So there is a need for us to get those specific skills that will assist us to serve a small businesses sector. I think, Chair, I've tried to cover everything. If I've not covered, I will cover before I hand over back to you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair Tichi, for the responses, and also to the CEO and the other managers of CIDA. Over to you, Minister. And if you can also make closing remarks, because we approaching the 1300 hours, we then allow members to have a break, and then we're going to have a plenary session this afternoon.
Thank you so much once more, Honorable Chairperson, with your collective. Chairperson, the team has really responded to the questions that were asked. And of course, mine is to just emphasize the need for support from this select committee in terms of the funds that we keep on requesting.
we all agree that the gap is too huge in the market in terms of SMME funding. But at the same time, we are appreciative of the challenges that we face internally as the portfolio, which is why the first thing is to make sure that we attend to those and forge partnerships that can help us to be able to deliver as per the expectations, whilst we are advocating for more funding. DG, I think one thing that we did not respond to is the issue of the list of the champions of the various provinces, unless I missed that. I know that...
So you said he's going to make them available, Minister.
Thank you so much. And this, again, is meant to ensure that there's alignment. Because what we are trying to do as a portfolio is to shift away from interventions that just come from national without looking at what the provincial and local economic development plans talk to. Because if you look, for example, at the kind of support that we are providing, let me talk about the spaza shops. We are providing 15,000 rand for spaza shops, of which 10.5 is grant and 4.5 is loan. And when you go to a province like Gauteng, already in their plan and budgeting, they provide 50,000 rand as a grant to a small business. Now, these are the inadequacies that we're talking about. What kind of support is required, or how do we build on each other's capability to make sure that we can really look at impactful interventions? If you go to the Eastern Cape, just a local municipality in one of the rural areas, in Nusa, they provide 100,000 rand because they're looking at what the honorable members are also talking to in terms of the infrastructure and the safety that must be provided to informal traders now. So the engagement that we are having both with the MECs of economic development throughout the country, and we are now busy with the roadshows on the two provinces that are left, help us to say how do we align our resources and plans so that when we come in to complement the work that has already been done by the province instead of the same informal traders or spaza shops or small businesses that will go to your province and get different criteria that is set up for them to qualify for funding, and it's a different amount. But we're talking about people who are involved in the same trade. So that standardization of saying at least the minimum, the bare minimum of the support that we're talking about should be understood by all the different levels, and also the alignment in terms of the LED strategies, the provincial growth and development plans, and our interventions talking to the economic recovery and reconstruction plan must really help us to say, does this ecosystem really work meaningful for us as a country? If it's not working, where are the gaps? As the DG outlined, that, for example, just on payment of permit fees, it's something that is different. Of course, we understand the grading by the municipalities, but we're talking about small business. It doesn't cease to be a small business because it's at an advanced city. And this is where we are saying there's a need as we work with Mr. Ngosi to ensure that we identify certain things that are bottlenecks, whilst we also try to introduce new incentives. Honorable Chair, you know that if a big business is coming to invest in a particular province, everybody runs up and down to say, what can we do to make sure that they keep the investment? And this is what is lacking when we talk about the small businesses. And the engagements, therefore, that we are having with our sister departments and the private sector look at that to say, now that we have failed to create the jobs that we're supposed to create because of poor investment towards small businesses, what is that we can do? Not only to creation of jobs, but to also ensure that we give a maximum participation in the economy by the small businesses. At the center of it, again, is unbundling both the value and supply chain components to say where are the areas where there's too much concentration on certain areas, especially those that are advanced. If you know you are a village, I don't even have to say if you are coming from a rural province, you would know. The people that need toilets, the people that need electricity, the people that need school infrastructure are the rural provinces. But what benefits goes to the small businesses in those areas, which is what also informed us in terms of changing the amount that we had on the township and rural enterprise program to say 350,000, yes, it's okay. But there's more work that needs to be done and an opportunity that can be presented, especially as we build on what Minister Patel talks about as one of the critical drivers of the economic recovery and reconstruction, with localization. If you're going to focus on localization, it means we shouldn't really be looking at people who must come and therefore make the township and rural SMEs to just be consumers of those services, but let them be entrepreneurs that can drive development whilst helping those big companies that are coming out of South Africa to be able to get the products that they need at a reasonable price. And all of this requires us and the legislative environment. Yes, like you, Superson, we are concerned about the timelines in terms of the legislative framework. We are not happy. The red tape, as you are aware, it's a SONA commitment, which means it's an annual commitment out of what has already been identified. Now, we would be very happy if we were to get the select committee agreeing with the portfolio committee on the other side to say, if you prioritize these ones, we can reduce our program in terms of other things because we understand the importance of having these legislations in place so that we can work hand in hand and ensure that we don't have to take 18 months. Because by the time we go to 18 months, small business would have died. You really delay. That is why we find ourselves here now. Now, if we're going to give ourselves 2 years or 3 years, we will not have any small business. And these people, as we have seen with the unrest that we have seen, would have risen up against any government, irrespective of who's leading it. But it's about the exclusion in their own economy. So all the efforts that we're talking about are efforts that are saying, how do we bring the critical stakeholders in the ecosystem, the legislative environment, the financiers, the SMEs themselves, the communities themselves to say, can we fast track? Because we all agree there's a need for us to grow jobs. To create jobs, there's a need for us to grow the economy. And that cannot be done by a single department or by government alone. Let me just pause there. And we do continue to engage with National Treasury. I want to emphasize that in terms of the needs that are required for the department, whilst we're trying to address the gaps that we have. We also appreciative of the fact that for certain services we'll have to outsource in the meantime. Because, as I said, some of the things can't really be fast-tracked when looking at the internal capability. But we really have to source out some skills and make sure that we can create some special purpose vehicles that must help us deliver on what needs to be delivered. I wanted to just talk to those. And the honorable members, yes, they are allowed to go and provide the oversight. We will, of course, looking at the POPIA Act, which is something that we're going to be addressing, honorable members, to say if you're going to access support from our portfolio, whether through CEDA or ourselves or CIFA, now you must know that it's a requirement because we can't continue coming here to report that we spend so much on so many SMEs and all of them you don't know because you are scared of POPIA. There's something wrong with that. If people do not want then to be evidence that indeed these are the people that have supported, they would have to go to the banks to remain anonymous or whoever that they want to be. But with us, what is public funds that we account for? In order to give comfort even to the legislators, they ought to be able to say we're visiting a stellar funded company. And indeed, they can match the value versus what amount that we have put there. Thank you so much, Person. Let me pause there for now. And I thank you for giving us this opportunity. And we apologize for any inconveniences that we have caused that led to you having to postpone the meeting.
Thank you very much, Mafako, and the ministry and the department and the entities for coming and presenting the APPs and the budget. We really appreciate it. But also with regard to the legislation, we as the NCOP, particularly this committee, we prioritize legislation. I can tell you that in November, the Department of Employment and Labor brought two bills, occupational health and occupational and injuries compensation bill, as well as the employment equity amendment bill in November. Today, we're tabling those two bills this afternoon in the House for it to be considered passed or rejected. It depends. So I'm trying to explain. But if we didn't have December, perhaps we would have considered it passed last month, but then we had to take a break in December. So as soon as you bring it, we'll definitely pass it within a year or even 6 months. So we promise you that we prioritize legislation. As such, we don't have any legislation from any department in front of us as we speak now. These were the last two. So we are ready for any legislation that is going to come to this committee. Thank you so much. Thank you to you and the department. And also thanks, honorable members, for coming and your participation. We will meet with the minister or deputy minister on the 24th. The date that has been confirmed for the budget or debate is the 24th. So next week we'll be debating this APP and the budget. Thank you so much, Minister. But we'll see CIDA and CIPA in August on the issue that we had initially wanted to meet with them on. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your attendance and participation. Thank you very much, honorable members and the staff of the committee, the staff of parliament, general, the media, and everybody else. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much.
See you this afternoon.
See you, yes. Quite a packed first thing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank
all
you.
All right. Let's start with the motions.
You presenting too many reports today.
And you're presenting a declaration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.